Hello and welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name is John Mays. I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. Last week in the podcast, I made a comment about I don't normally practice before I do a podcast. I may have an outline or whatever. And I know a lot of you probably thought, yeah, well, that's obvious. And I don't know why it really bothered me or stuck out in my mind, but I do the best that I can with what I have to work with, which is simply a microphone and a laptop. So, you know, I'm here to help you, and I want you to maybe take something from it in hopes of A, glorifying God, but B, defending the truth of Christianity. So, I just thought I'd throw that in there. It has nothing to do with today's podcast. But what it does have to do with is, you've heard me say many times that Christianity is true, and it's based on a cumulative case of circumstantial evidence, and that's what I want to talk about today. I mean, normally when people think of Christianity, it's not typically that they think that it's true. It's more of a personal feeling based on what we refer to as faith. But faith isn't a fact. I mean, we have to have faith. That's biblical. But we cannot prove God. And we just, I warn people, I guess, not to use the word prove when we're talking about apologetics and such things as that, because he's not provable, thus faith. But we have enough evidence, though circumstantial, that we can claim that it is true. And my point today is, I think we should probably look at how we're sharing the gospel. Although, I don't really believe anybody's sharing the gospel, based on my experience anyway. I mean, we can't just quote scripture, especially if somebody doesn't believe the book. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And if we are talking to anybody, and I'm guilty, just like a lot of people are, we want to just jump in and answer a question. If somebody asks us about why we believe or something to do with the Bible, and there's really a better way, and that's what I'm going to give you. And it's hard to do because you have to take control of the conversation, and most people don't want to talk about it anyway. But this is really simple, and I do it all the time. And prayerfully, it will help you be able to have that conversation with confidence. And maybe we can stay on subject. That's the key. When you're having those type of conversations, don't let that other person just jump from question to question without actually sticking to the subject that they're talking about. Because those who have questions will want to do that. So have a conversation. That's all you have to do. I mean, herein lies the goal in having that type of conversation, because that's all it is. I mean, consider the confidence you'd have if you were able to actually sit down with anybody. I'm talking your friends, family, those you pray for, those you invite to church or whatever, and have a discussion on why you're a Christian and why it's true. It's so much easier than A, just answering questions, and B, just going up and, I guess, beating somebody over the head with the Bible, because I don't think that's real effective. Anyway, a good conversation starter, I mean, just imagine being able to tell somebody what you believe and why you're a Christian is because it is true. I mean, they're definitely going to have questions after that. So, here's what I do, and here's what I recommend. Like I said, prayerfully, this will help you, and this is a cumulative case built on circumstantial evidence. personally, I don't start with God, and you may have to sometimes, but I don't know that you really would, because at the end I'll show you why. But sometimes you may actually have to start with God, and there's arguments for that. I mean, the cosmological argument, teleological argument, moral argument, the ontological argument. And I don't expect you to know that. And the reason I say that I don't start there is most people don't know what that is or would understand it. And the same thing with you. I don't think that you need to go that far. So here's where I would start. And it's so easy. I mean, you have to start with truth. Okay, why truth? Well, because if it's not true, then it's just an opinion. I mean, truth is a fact. And the definition of truth that we use, or that I use, there's three different theories, and I'm not going there, I've done it before. But truth is what corresponds to reality. And outside of that, like I said, it's just their opinion. And you hear that objection all the time. Well, what makes you right? That's just your opinion or whatever. So how do you start the conversation with truth? Ask them. Do you believe if something is true, it's true for all people at all times and all places? I do that all the time. I do it with waitresses at a Starbucks. I do it with restaurants, anywhere. So just by the pool, I build a little bit of rapport. Hey, how you doing? What do you do for a living or whatever? But then just say, hey, you mind if I ask you a question? And say, do you think if something is true, it's true for all people at all times and all places? You'll be amazed at the answer you get, I promise. But the point being, truth is discovered. It's not invented. Truth exists whether one has knowledge of it or not. Like gravity existed, which is true, obviously. Newton discovered it. Truth is transcultural. That's a big word. Meaning, as I said, it's true, all people, all places, all times. If something is true, like 2 plus 2 is 4, every time, everywhere, for everyone, that's true. Truth is unchanging. Even though our beliefs about truth change, such as about the earth being flat, although there are some out there that still believe such nonsense, truth didn't change about the earth being flat. Our belief changed. Beliefs cannot change a fact, no matter how sincerely they're held. I mean, someone can believe the earth is flat, does not make it so. All truths are absolute truths. Truth is not what works. Simply because something works does not make it true. There's one reality, as truth corresponds to reality, but statements and ideas must conform in order to be regarded as true. So, you see how easy that is? I mean, if you can't establish truth, then there's no way you're going to establish anything about Christianity. I mean, and you may think that's silly. I'm sorry if you do, but you'd be amazed. Just ask the question. And that's the conversation starter. And that's the first piece of circumstantial evidence, truth. The second piece is morality. Truth and morality go hand in hand. And they both are objective, meaning that they're fact. And if morality isn't objective, then we live in a world of chaos. Although it does appear that we live there now, based on the way people act. Morality basically is just what's right and what's wrong. The only thing we can legislate is morality. Think about it. Because we have people saying we can't legislate morality, or why should we have the government making rules and all these different things? But all laws are enforced from a moral viewpoint. Good is a moral term. Everyone has a moral point of view. There is no morally neutral ground. If it's up to you, that isn't neutral. It doesn't care about the view of other people. It makes up its rules as they go along. They're beating their own moral drum, and you see it every day on television. You listen to it. You listen, watch YouTube videos, or however you entertain yourself, I guess, but morality is an objective right or wrong. It's that simple. It's black or white. Here's you an example. In America, and people think this is funny, we eat beef, but we don't eat grandma. But in India, they don't eat beef, but they eat grandma. The fact is, we don't eat grandma. Do you see how that ties into morality? It's all a moral standard. They don't eat beef because they think it may be grandma, because it's wrong. And we don't eat grandma because it's wrong. That should be obvious. If you're under somebody that says that's not obvious, you know, then you need to go back to truth. Murder is wrong. And I'm telling you, that leads to so many different areas. Stay on subject. Torturing babies for fun is wrong. These are clear-cut examples of moral truths. And if somebody doesn't agree, then they need to share with you on why. What do they base that on? You can, if they don't agree, they can never say something's wrong. Let me give you a quick example. I have and I've mentioned him before, used to come to my meetings at Ratio Christi at Marshall, secular Buddhist, he refers to himself as, and he come in late one evening, and we asked him what happened. He said his bicycle got stolen. I was like, man, I hate that for you. Because he couldn't be upset, because he can't say that stealing is wrong if you don't believe that morality is objective. You can't complain of the problem of evil. I mean, you have all these people saying, well, I'm not going to follow God, or I think God's evil. They can't say that. They do. It's on the news, and I've used that example every day. Yesterday, the little girl and the boy in California that were shot. If God doesn't exist, or if morality is not objective, there was nothing evil about that. Think about it. You can say that you don't like it, you don't think it should happen, we need to take guns away or whatever, but you can't say that it was wrong unless there is a moral standard to base it on. You can't blame anybody. You can't accept praise. You can't claim anything is unfair or unjust. And these are just ideas that when you're having the conversation about morality that you can use. I mean, you can't improve morality. You can't have a meaningful moral discussion if there's no such thing as a common good. To know something's bad, there has to be a good. Is it okay for somebody or someone to do something as long as it doesn't bother or harm someone else? Because you hear that too. Well, turn it around. If they say that and say, well, why should I accept that moral principle? Well, it doesn't bother me. Well, okay, why should I accept that? Because they're pushing their moral principle on you. Why do they accept it? Ask them, and ask them why you should. Think about Jim Jones. Some people may not remember Jim Jones, but this happens today in the church. He even went to the White House as a pastor. Led all these people to a jungle, and they drank the Kool-Aid, as they say. Why? Well, because they consented to it. And that's another one of those things. Consent is itself insufficient. So, I hope the morality part there gave you some things to consider and think about, because obviously it's a whole lot deeper, and I do this, as I said, the way I do it, so that I can reach people that understand. I mean, most people that think about, as I said at the beginning, Christianity or the Bible, they've never really given it much thought, because once upon a time, you could say you was a Christian and it was respected. And nowadays, people think that you're not real, well, they don't think of Christianity in a respected light. for lack of better terms. How's that? It's not in a respected... They think Christianity is irrelevant. Sorry, I had a hard time articulating that. And that's one of the things that I think... That's why last week's podcast, I felt I needed to point that out at the beginning. And I know that's way off track, and I'm trying to keep this on subject. And you see how easy it is to get off subject. Imagine people asking you questions. Keep them on track. But that's one of the reasons that I feel that way, is because what I'm trying to do is not only biblical, but it's what God's put on my heart. And we have to do something, church. And this is an easy way. And I'm going to show you. We're going to get to the gospel. And I'm going to show you how we do that. First of all, we have the conversation. We start with truth. We move from truth to morality. From morality, then we move on to the Bible. Okay, now we're heading into Christianity, you think. Well, why would we start with the Bible? Let me back up a step. If you can't establish truth and morality, the Bible's not going to make a difference. Because if the Bible's not true, then we're wasting our time, period. And if someone doesn't accept truth and morality being objective, they're not going to accept our book. So, why do we believe the Bible? And I've asked this on my Facebook page. Oh my goodness. Well, let me lay you a foundation. Look at the it's a collection of smaller books written by more than 40 authors over 1,000 years in 3 different languages, 2 parts, old and new, 66 different books. So that's not a good reason to believe it, obviously. That just gives you a definition of what the Bible actually is. How did the Bible come to be the way it is now? How did we get the book that we claim is our Bible? Well, it had to have been written by an apostle, except for James and Jude, during the apostolic age, accepted by the church, and agree with Scripture, be inspired. Those were the standards used to put the 66 books together. And the council that formed an undisputed decision on those books took place in Carthage in AD 397. Now, don't get all torn up. I'm not saying that the council put the Bible together. They just made a decision because there's so many more books out there. God is the one that put the Bible together. The council simply determined the book. Here's how you look at that as far as having the conversation. Well, why do you believe the Bible? Well, Google Dead Sea Scrolls. Google Dead Sea Scrolls. Found in a cave in 1947, Qumran. It's a word-for-word identical with standard Hebrew Bible in more than 95% of the text. Every book of the Old Testament except Esther. And it was 1,000 years before our manuscripts that we actually have of the Old Testament were written. And it hasn't changed. So why do you believe the Bible? Well, first of all, the Dead Sea Scrolls. But I think, more importantly, is the New Testament. Because if you can show that the New Testament is reliable, then the Old Testament automatically gets thrown in as well. Because Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Numerous writers quoted the Old Testament. So if you don't want to worry about the Dead Sea Scrolls, jump to the New Testament and say, look, this is why I believe it. We have over 6,000 manuscripts. We have no originals. We have copies dating from the 2nd and 3rd century within 70 years, not including 8,000 copies of the Latin Vulgate and more than 1,000 of other early versions. Compare that to 643 copies of Homer's Iliad. It's the Greek poet, Trojan Horse, most famous book of ancient Greece. Compare it to Julius Caesar, Gallic Wars. We have 10 copies, 1,000 years after it was written. Plato, 1,200 years with 7 copies. Aristotle, 1,200 years with 10 copies. We have 100% of the New Testament and are sure of 99.5% of it. Even if we didn't have all the manuscript evidence. We could actually reconstruct almost the entire New Testament from quotations in the church fathers of the 2nd and 3rd centuries. There's only 11 verses missing, and that's from 2nd and 3rd John. You don't have to remember all that, and that was a quick overview, and I'm going to give you a way to put it together momentarily. We have archaeological proof. We have over 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled. We have secular sources. So here is how you can put that together. Remember an acronym, MAPS. M-A-P-S, MAPS. We have more manuscripts than any other ancient writing. Archaeological proof, over 300 prophecies, secular sources. You want a couple of examples? You have Josephus, a Jewish historian, Tacitus, a Roman historian, Pliny the Younger, a governor in Asia Minor, and Lucian, a 2nd century Greek satirist. So now, here we go. We got our cumulative case, circumstantial evidence. We've established truth. We've established morality. We've established that the Bible is reliable. So now what? Present the resurrection. Why? Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14, if it's not true, we shouldn't believe it. He actually says, if Jesus was not risen, we're still in our sins and our faith is in vain. So go there next. And here's how you can use the resurrection. Five facts. And I've told you this so many times, but today I wanted to bring it all together for you in a way that you can go back if you want to and listen to it or take notes, however. But five facts. Jesus was crucified. Over 500 people saw him after he was raised from the dead. Paul saw him and converted. James, his brother, saw him and converted. The tomb is empty. And if anybody says, well, I don't believe, you know, that 500 people saw him. Okay, fine. They have to show you a reasonable alternative explanation to the other four facts. It's their responsibility. You presented the evidence of why you believe Christianity is true. And if the resurrection is true, then God exists. There's the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and raised on the third day. You just shared the gospel by having a conversation. How easy is that? How confident can you be? It's true, and you got to, and like I said, that's an easy way to have the conversation or to open it, ask them a question, or tell them, you know, have you ever considered that I believe Christianity because it's true? They're going to ask questions, but you need to go back, keep them on track, have the conversation. Does truth exist? Are morals objective? Is the Bible reliable? And then give them the resurrection, and you have facts for the resurrection, which leads to the gospel. So there is a cumulative case of circumstantial evidence that Christianity is true. Now you have to sit back and listen. Ask questions. Here are your two good examples. What do you mean by that? And how did you arrive at that conclusion? That will keep the conversation going as long as you want it to go. Listen, ask questions, present the cumulative case, because Christianity is true. Question or answers? Email me, johnmays@ratiochristi.org. If you'd like to be a part of our financial support team, I would greatly appreciate that. We can use prayer as well. But if you want to be a monthly supporter or a one-time gift, they are tax deductible. You go to johnmays.ratiochristi.org. Outside of that, you've probably been thunderstruck.